Yo, yo, what's going on, big dogs? Welcome into another episode of Adams Plus One. During this episode, I'm joined by Arielle. She is the director of coaching at Tailored Coaching Method, whose mission is to help people unlock their full potential and live with purpose, confidence, and energy. Arielle flips the script by asking me a powerful question. Which do you prefer, control or success? Let's dive in. We had a script. We said, screw the script. I like that. That's life. You have a question for me, which is nice, right? Like I'm so used to asking questions. So go ahead, Ariel. What is the question that you brought to the plus one? I'm dying to hear it.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, which would you rather have? Only one is guaranteed, control or success?
I believe in like the reptile part of your brain, if that's a real thing. I saw it in a TV show. Like what, where did my mind go right when you said it? Because you said it and I thought control right away. And then I dissect, why do I want control? Because I look at my life and success doesn't really matter to me in terms of what is success. You'd have to define it for yourself. It's so different for everyone. And you might think this is successful. I might not. But control, I think, is black and white. And I'll give you an example of why I would go with control. I left the army. I could have went to any university that I got into. I chose to go to a university at St. Louis University. Why did I choose to go there? I went there because it was about 5 hours away from home. It's a beautiful school. I could never afford to go there. It's a private university. I didn't need a car. And I was cheap. I didn't want to buy a car. I had control over my schedule. I could walk to and from the gym, right? So I had control over my schedule. It was big to me. And then, right, when I graduated, I went and worked at a place where it was close to home and it was cheap and I had control over that. And the whole point is, then I ended up going to Arkansas eventually. And I started to lose control of my routine because the career that I was going in investment banking was demanding more from me than what I was willing to give up. I didn't have control over what time I had to get to work in the morning, what time I left work, right? Things of those natures. And then it starts to impact, man, it's really hard to eat the way I want to eat when I'm stuck in an office all day, okay? Now I look at my life right now. I wake up when I want to at 4 a.m. I have the discipline to do that. I'm not saying everyone can't wake up or doesn't have discipline if they don't wake up that early, but it gives me control over my day. I train, I get to do content because I have control over my day. So I would look at my life and say, I wouldn't say I'm a control freak. Some people might, but I definitely like doing things on my terms. And I would definitely, if someone asked me, I'm the person that does not do the things they don't want to do. So some people will be like, hey, when my friends ask me to do stuff, I feel peer pressure. Or when people want me to go out and do things, I feel like I kind of have to. I've never felt that way. I'm like, yeah, no, no thanks. Because I want control over my time and my routine. So control for sure. And that might not even answer your question, but that's just how I feel.
No, and I think this is such a good question because you brought up a couple of good points. One, my innate is success. Yeah. Definitely success. A couple of things that you brought up that I think are important to talk about. One is the definition of success, right? And allowing that to ebb and flow. When I think of success, I think of just like whatever is going to bring you joy, fulfillment, happiness, like what is your best life version of self look like? And so I think it's important when anyone asking themselves this question, because inevitably people are going to listen to the podcast and be like, which would I pick?
Right.
Have clarity on what success looks like and is for you. Write it down. Have it like, this is what success means for me. Like success for me isn't a dollar amount. Success for me isn't like followers or even an amount of trophies from my competitions, right? Like success is found in the quality of my life, my family, me living out my values, challenging myself, me having growth, all of those things. And so I think having clarity on what success is very important. Now, what I think you're doing is you're saying control and autonomy are synonyms and they're not, right? Like autonomy is definitely one of my values. I want to be able to decide how I allocate my time and where that goes and what my days look like. Autonomy is something that's always, and I played with this verbiage for a while because I didn't feel aligned to the word freedom. Like I do, like I was like, I value freedom, but that's not it. And it's much more of like an autonomy thing. And even you saying like you reinforced, I wrote down autonomy versus control and you reinforced it by saying, I'm not someone that needs to follow the crowd because you have autonomy of your own voice and your own time and day and how things ebb and flow, what your workouts look like, everything. And so I think an important variable here when I look at the two is We can't control everything, right? We can't control, like, if the, I was talking to someone about this in their check-in. One of my clients was like, I was at my workout, was going to get my fourth workout in the week, and the power went out in the gym. And it made me think about peak. And I was like, there was one time where the power went out, and like a bunch of us like kept working out and like turned our flashlights on our phones. And we're like, well, this is weird. And they were like, you guys got to go. And we're like, but we have our phone lights.
No, we're
So,
good.
but I'm good. But like, I can't control that. Like,
Right.
I can't control that the power was out. There's always going to be things that I cannot control. I could not control, for people that don't know. Like, we had my daughter through IVF. I'm pregnant right now. We had our second baby, hopefully, God willing, through IVF. I could not control that I could not get pregnant, but I was successful. Right. And so I think the difference for me, the difference between control and success is your ability to trust. Because people who do not have a high level of trust feel a need to try and control every variable. I need to control everything so that I can ensure success. Like, if I control everything, then I will be successful. Right. Like, that's the thought process.
For
But
sure,
what
I
if
see that.
trust wasn't there? What if trust was interjected in and you didn't need to control or stress or like get so neurotic about every little variable and stress about things that you can't control, whether it's the economy, the loss of your job? Like, I work with a ton of women, and like, I was just going through check-ins and I was telling Dennis, like, oh, look, like, I have clients that just lost their job. I have clients that are like now being asked to go into work again 5 days a week. And like, there's just ebb and flows and things that happen in our day-to-day life that we can't control. But in those moments, if you can lean into trust, trust yourself to always make the best decision, trust yourself to show up, trust God, universe, Buddha, whoever you believe in to have your back. And like, success is inevitable. It will come.
The one
I
thing I'll
just
say
find a
is this
lot
though, is
of
who's
there.
defining the success when you say, would you rather have success or control? Because think about this, right? I'll give you an example. I'll use my life as an example. Had I stayed in investment banking, the imagery of my life would be, oh, he deals with high-end clients, right? Wealthy people managing their retirement accounts. And just the people at that firm would have known he works at the largest independent bank in the world, investment bank in the country. He's on a $250 million book of business. That guy is successful, right? Some people externally would say that looks successful. And then someone will look at maybe my life now and be like, that doesn't look as successful based off of an outside image. But you're saying success based off of what you define your own success. Is that what you're saying? Because if you say it
Yeah, I
that way,
think.
then I would say this. I would say this. I would lean towards success if we're going to differentiate control versus autonomy. Because I believe I do define my own success, so I would definitely sway that way. But I didn't know how we're gonna attack. That's why I was like, it's important that we talk about how we attack success. Because to some people, if you don't win a bodybuilding show, you were never a successful bodybuilder, right? But you might be like, yo, look at how much progress I made in 5 years. I had no muscle before, now I'm shredded, right? And I look better than I ever thought. I'm successful.
I think success is also defined by your lived experiences, right? By like, sometimes I, as I'm like coaching, working with them, whatever it is, I'm like, there's inevitably some unteachable lessons that you are going to need to encounter. I can tell you that your dream body will not make you happy, but we need to achieve your dream body for you to see that it does not make you happy.
Good point.
I can tell you that more money will not make you more fulfilled, happy. Again, if we just say the word happy again. But it's not until you have the money and then experience, you still have that hole or lack or something's missing, that you then believe it. Because belief is cultivated through experience. I can tell someone all day, oh, you know, oh, there's a turkey outside, there's a turkey outside, there's a turkey outside. But if we really want someone to believe us, we say, oh, come look at the window. Come look. Come look. That's what you say when you want someone to believe something. Come look at this. Oh, look at what I see. Because our eyes will give us evidence of that belief. And so, you may define, I would encourage everyone, know your values. And as you go through milestones, whatever, maybe every year of your life, every birthday, every pivotal moment that you have, take a look at that definition of success, see what experiences you have, and what does that look like today? Because like 25-year-old Ariel would not define success the way that 35-year-old Ariel does. I got offered a job position that was more money than what I'm making now. It was also more hours. And I was like, no, thank you.
No,
I don't want
that wouldn't be
that's not
successful.
successful. Yeah, that's not
Right.
success to me. And I think that's probably one of the most important components of this all is everyone's just kind of like figuring out and navigating life. Like, I don't necessarily really like use the word balance because I don't think anything's ever truly like quote unquote balance equal, meaning I don't think everything is ever equal and even, but I do believe in alignment. And I believe that's what people want because alignment brings you a level of peace. And so when you feel aligned, like I'm spending 3 hours at the gym, doesn't matter, who cares if it's that? It's aligned to what you value.
Yeah.
I like really, it's for me, it's really important to drop Gabby off at school and pick her up.
Yep.
Dennis, yeah, can I make it work? Yeah, but like that's aligned. And you know, it takes like 2 hours out of my day. Her school's not close. And
Right.
so that is aligned to me. And so when you have that alignment, I think that's what people are searching for. And that inevitably may or may not look like success for you.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that too, because when you say I could have taken this job, and I know it's easy to use, careers are just easy. So like I have friends that work in public accounting or have worked at big firms, and always laughed, right? Like I work at a big firm right now. I love the people I work with. But I've worked in other places in business in corporate America. And you know something I've sat back and said, I'm in a room with these people who are senior directors, VPs, whatever. I don't admire one person in the room. I don't aspire to be like any of these people. And I would think to myself, if I kept going at this rate, I'd have to end up hanging out with people or working with people that I don't admire them. There's nothing wrong with them, by the way. I'm not trash talking these people. I'm saying they're not Dennis in the window at 5 a.m. at the gym hyped up, who like has the same morals and ethics as I do. He's like, yeah, I woke up today to conquer the day. He might not have the same career goals as I do, but we're both aligned like in our values, so like how we're gonna attack the day. So my point is, right, like it's interesting because they were defined, like people around me growing up would say that's successful, right? You're a doctor, you're a lawyer. But like at the end of the day, I don't know, I guess when you define it yourself, I would go success. But it's hard for me to get over like how much I like control in it. Do you think, I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you think someone who values control, or if you did value control, is that a negative thing? Because the way you talked about control sort of was negative. Like the way you express it, is that something you don't like? Or like talk a little bit more about that, how you felt about it.
I think it's like, there's a lot of different like drawings or things where you're like, what's inside of my control? What's not inside of my control? And I think that is a skill to understand and to learn the difference between what is in my control and what is not within my control. And so I think the thing that gets people stuck or caught up is people who hyperfixate on being in control generally struggle to delineate between what is not within their control. Like people will get really upset that like, oh, the gym closed and the light was out and I couldn't even get my workout in. Or like, oh, the scale kids, like there are behaviors that you can absolutely follow through on that will lead to your success. But there are so many variables that no, you can't actually control every single little thing that goes into it. And so I think a better frame is if you have to reverse engineer because you have to know what success is, have clarity on that, and then whatever success or that looks like for you, now what day-to-day behaviors follow, like lead to that. Like you were saying, like, okay, I don't want this life, I don't want these people. Now, what life do I want? And what behaviors and actions do I need to take on a day-to-day basis that will move me closer to that needle? And so looking at things. Yes, there are behaviors you can do. Yes, there are things that the actions you can take, thoughts you can think, ways you can show up for yourself. But I think control is largely an illusion.
Gotcha. If you're dealing with your client and they have control issues, how do you coach them up? I know you just said you reverse engineer. They can do that, but they can still have the issue with the control. So how have you helped people through kind of letting go of that control?
I think one of the biggest things, and it's funny because whatever you believe in, God, universe, Buddha, Jesus, whatever, it's crazy how much like before I got into coaching, right? I spent a decade coaching or teaching, right? Teaching kids on the West Side, right? Who like generally don't want to listen or follow directions and getting them to really understand concepts and for me to recognize skills and patterns and understand how to teach skills. And so when someone's like, oh, I just want to be able to control every variable. I kind of just work on again that delineation between what is like what can you control and what is a behavior action you want to take. And I just frame it like that. Like, what's a behavior action you want to take? I want to be someone who goes to the gym, who tracks my macros, who makes my food, who meals preps. And it's more of a because if we want long-term change, we don't try and white knuckle and control. We change on an identity level. Like you are someone like obviously, I see you work out of the gym, what you kind of post. I could probably guess some other patterns that you have in your life. Maybe it's like a bedtime routine. Maybe you're consistently reading. Maybe you're great. I mean, you have a water bottle. Like you're probably consistent, like or tracking that. And there's certain variables. Maybe you have a, I bet you have a routine in which you clean your house, right? Like as a child, like there are certain patterns that follow suit with the identity in which you embody and portray out, as well as live within internally. And so I think if someone's like, oh, I just like, I'm like a perfectionist, I'm a, like a type A, whatever, they come with this kind of identity. And I'm like, those are beautiful character traits. I love that you're someone that shows up for yourself. I love that you're someone with big, audacious goals and that's driven. And so now let's just frame this. What are those behaviors look like? What are the actions you can take day to day? And what is the identity you want to embody? Rather than feeling like if I do all this perfectly, then I'll get the outcome I want.
You know what's fascinating is thank you, that amazing stuff, dude. Seriously amazing stuff. What you just said too, just a lot of things just clicked. But the one word I wrote down from everything you just said is perfectionist. And now it's funny because I jumped on and I was like control, but then the way that you now have explained it, I'm like no, it's success. I like I it's you've changed me my the way I'm thinking of it. But because a word that you said, and I'm curious what your thought is on this. I'll use myself as an example with things I post, and I feel like you're probably the same way. I know a lot of people who are control in terms of they would love to post more on social media or have content. It could be anything. Some of my friends would love to do more with like outfits, right? Like they have really good style, but you know why they don't, Ariel? You know why they don't? Because they can't control that it's going to get 100 likes and 5,000 views. Because it's not, they're not sure it's going to do that. They don't, right? They just won't. And so, but what I realized, like as you're talking, I'm like, see, I'm not a perfectionist. In fact, when I first started filming and editing, right, I knew some of it was going to be crappy, dude, right? But I knew it was going to get better, right? And I knew I'd get better. And it was almost like I think about anything that anyone gets better at. It's like you put the time in, you put the time in. And then before you know it, it's getting better because I was never a perfectionist. So I was never worried about the output. I was always worried about what you just said, the identity of I am someone. But now when you meet me, you'd be like, oh, that's Adam. Adam is a bodybuilder. Adam has a podcast. Adam creates day in the life content, right? That's my identity. And he gets better at it, right? Like at least that's the way I got to tell myself. It's not perfect. It's never, there's times where I'm editing, I'm like, could it be a little bit better? Yeah, but I can't, like what you just said, I can't control every little variable because I'll never get better if I keep doing that.
No. And that's what stops so many people. Like, even when you were helping me record that day, or looking at it, you couldn't control it. That guy was like, no, you can't record here. You're like, oh, I can't get the wide lens that I, or the wide frame that I want. Like, you can't control. You couldn't control if, like, I showed up or I didn't, or if a machine was available or not. Like, you can't control all of those things. You can't control how many people are going to like it. You can't control the out, you can't control any outcome. And so, that, like I said, that just like you gave that perfect example, looping back, it stops so many people because their thought is, I need to be able to control every single element of it. Or in order for it to be successful. But what if you leaned into trust like you did? You're like, okay, I'm gonna have autonomy and I'm gonna show up as the best version of myself. I'm gonna consistently take these actions and behaviors of someone who records and tries things and lets allow it. And I'm going to trust that it'll inevitably lead to success, whether it's something that is paid, not paid, something I do for fun, something that, well, I don't know, but I'm leaning into the trust that it'll be successful. And at the end of the day, the success lies and I fucking enjoy doing it.
I enjoy it, dude. I love what I do, right? So it's interesting because there's times where people come up to me, like yesterday at the gym, I'm training. This girl comes up to me, her and her boyfriend train there every morning, and she's like, hey, she opens up CapCut. She's like, how do you do that, right? And you know what I'm sitting there thinking the whole time? If I didn't put years and hours of like of just editing away, right? I wouldn't be someone that you could come to because you wouldn't think of me, right? But then you become like you are here because you're an SME as a coach in mindset and nutrition and everything, bodybuilding, all of it. I wouldn't have you on my podcast if I knew you weren't a resource. And so if you get really good at something, if you can get away from the control, you become someone that people want to go to for help, go to for answers, right? Which cracked me up though, because that happened and something else happened and I was laughing. Oh yeah, I was at the gym this morning and some guy's like, yo, dude, I saw your YouTube channel. I love watching you sprint down the driveway with your garbage. I said, it's actually garbage day today. And I was thinking in my head, nobody told me, I didn't ask anyone, should I sprint down the driveway? The reason that happened is I was like, man, I can't stand taking the trash out. This was before I ever filmed my day in my life. How could I make it fun? I was like, what if I just sprinted down the driveway? Who else does that shit? No one. No one does that. I'm gonna make it fun. I'm gonna make taking the trash out fun. And so I wasn't worried about what my neighbors might think, is the house on fire or something like that. So I don't know. I'm happy that I had this talk because now I feel better. I always thought I was like some control freak. Now I feel a little bit.
No, and I think even it's so funny because even the example of the garbage cans, like based on the identity that you have, not the control, the elusive control that you think is put out there, I would assume you would be someone that would take their garbage can in because you're someone that's disciplined. You know, people will leave their garbage cans out like for like a long time. And I don't think, I think that you probably bring them in the day because you are someone who has an identity of someone who's disciplined,
Yeah.
someone who shows up consistently, someone who values those things. And so because of that, the actions and behaviors lead to that. And you have a fucking successful garbage day because people forget. People forget it's garbage day. People forget their cans are out there. They don't throw things out away. And so, like, I think it's like a cool full circle to see how it is. And so, I don't know. It's an interesting question to think about. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I would totally talk to someone who is like, oh, no, I think control this, that, or the other. These are, again, based on my life experiences, my own philosophies and thoughts, and how I like to live my life. I think that. I'm not someone that I would ever say that I'm like a control freak, a perfectionist. I do things like this, despite people thinking that I do. Like I've competed in 16 bodybuilding shows. Not one of them was done perfectly. Not done one of them was done with every variable controlled. No, but I got a lot of fucking trophies. And
Yeah.
so evidence speaks for itself. I'd rather be successful. Like, which would I rather have? Okay, I controlled every single variable. I made sure I had everything. Or and this is I think this is funny because this actually started by talking about Enneagram. With one of my friends. And have you ever taken the
Oh
Enneagram?
yeah, for sure. I'm curious what you're saying.
Okay.
Keep going, keep
What
going,
is
keep going.
okay, so anyways, speaking of that, we are talking about it and like her Enneagram number came up and she's an eight. And I'm a three. I
Me too.
guess. Like I'm like the hardest three. You're a three. Okay, I see it. I see the three. I'm like,
That's funny.
okay, Dennis is a two. Is he
He's a
not the
tip.
biggest two in the world?
That's
He
funny.
is. He is my two. So the thing about a three is a three will prioritize. And I was, she goes, I feel like we're so similar, an eight and a three. And I was like, we are, but there's a differentiating factor. And I said, eights want control and threes want success. And so there are people out there who would like, I'd rather control every variable, no idea everything, and get third place. And I'm like, nah, bitch, I want first. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I would rather be like, yeah, I don't know what happened during peak week. And like, I forgot I got on the water, but I showed up and I got first place. Like that is my belief and philosophy. And so I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to stress about the rigidity. At the end of the day, I trust myself and I trust what God's plan is for me. And I think success is inevitable along that path.
I love that. I have a question for you. Let me say something about me. Three wing, I want to say whatever three wing I am, the wing, the def like in the book, because there's a book, right? I'm the performer. I know that I'm the performer. So whatever wing goes with that, it makes sense for me. But it's interesting you talk about success, right? Like, yes, I want to win things in life or be successful. But the most important thing to me was always to have my own identity. I'll give you an example, right? Someone at the gym said, "Man, when are you gonna take your hoodie off?" And I was like, "No, see, everybody else takes their hoodie off. I'm the guy that doesn't." Because, like, if you ever watch Seinfeld, George Costanza in the show, they talk about making the show. He's like, they're like, "What's a TV show going to be about?" He's like, "It's a show about nothing." And they're like, "What? Why a show about nothing?" He's like, "Because when you watch all the other TV shows, they're about something, but our show is going to be about nothing." So the important part was that they were going to be different. And it's not like I have to be different for different sake, but I've always been like, I always want to lean into my own identity because everybody else, I don't like the word trends, but I don't want to be like copy paste bodybuilder, right? Like, I know you're not like that. I'm not saying you are, but I want to be like, yeah, Adam, like, I don't know anyone else like Adam because he is himself all the time. You know what I mean? My internet connection is being slow. Can you hear me? Beautiful. Okay. But my question to you,
No, I can hear you.
my question to you though. So I guess my identity is very important to me. And not in the way that I need people to see it a certain way, but more in the way that like, I don't know. I'll think about that. But
I
what?
think your identity is the autonomy. It comes back to that. Like, I think your number one value is probably autonomy, and autonomy comes with the ability to be your own person. And it probably just folds into that. And so, like, your identity is true to you as long as it is one that you decide. It's not saying that, like, oh, you're gonna be different for just for different sake. But, like, if I'm gonna be different, I'm gonna choose to be different. I'm gonna be the same. I'm gonna choose to be the same.
You know, I'm happy you say that because when I was in the military, like when I got out, some people that served, it was like they got out, Ariel, but they were like the same. Like they kept all, like the military was their identity. And I'm like, hey, my goal is that in 10 years, someone asks me about who I am and they're like, they find out I was in the military and they're like, I would never know because he never brought it up or like he didn't act like someone that was prototypical military. That's a good way to kind of, you know, I saw a lot of that. So, question for you though, success. When we talk about that and we talk about like winning trophies or what, and however you define your success. What's the biggest hurdle for you when you're defining what success is for you? Like, what's a hurdle? Like, is there anything where you're like, we reverse engineer your life, right? Like, you're 30, are you 35?
I'm 35.
Okay. So you sit down and you're like, okay, I'm gonna reverse engineer. God damn, I can't believe 35. I thought you were like 27.
We'll take it.
But you reverse engineer what success is for you. What's the biggest hurdle? What is that gets in the way of getting to that success for you? Well, and I guess I could say a more straightforward question. What are your weaknesses in every facet that you feel comfortable as a mom, as a wife, as what anything you feel comfortable sharing? Because I think it's important that people know you're human, I'm human, we all have weaknesses.
Oh, bro, we could go down the rabbit hole. Of course, I think in the best way to say it is like de-imp or do too much. It's like I do have a lot of self-belief, and I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just because I can doesn't mean I should. And so me having a crystal clear definition outline of what success is to me and holding to that is really important. It's hard for me to not say I want to go get my pro card. Like I say it in seasons, and I'll even say it. Like I've posted around, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna get my pro card, and then I have to pause and look. I'm like, hey, Ariel, what is it gonna cost you? What do you have to sacrifice? Is it worth it? No. I want to like make $1 million. I want to like get okay. What does it cost you? How much is it? Is it worth the sacrifice? Is it still aligned with you? That was a really big like pivotal point for me. I would say it really happened around 2018, because I would say 23, like graduate, like young college Ariel. Like 27 was like achievement addiction. Like I'm achieving, I'm performing, I'm doing all the things. And it was a lot of like my worth, my identity. It was all of these accolades and trophies and things. And I think there's in like 2018, I would say it really kind of started where it was like, I think it was a lesson I learned. But it is still something that I navigate. A lesson that I learned is like, like I am enough, whether or not I achieve or whatever I do. I don't need to always do more or chase because I can. And understanding that and holding integrity in there is hard. Like it's hard for me to say no, not no to other people. Like I'm really good with boundaries, but it's hard for me to say no to something that could be an opportunity. Like, my biggest fear in life is always regret. Like my biggest fear is I will regret something. I will regret not taking the chance, not going after the dream, not doing the thing. And sometimes that fear of regret pushes me beyond my limits to then where it's like, okay, Ariel, like you're stretched fucking thin and you're needing to like give up things that you're saying are values and important to you, and you're cutting corners and doing things short just for the sake of it. And so I think that's something that like I've really worked on over time and have great clarity and boundaries around, but is still something I'm vastly tempted by. Is any opportunity or like, oh, I'm just gonna keep going. Like, I've even thought about competing postpartum. I'm like, oh, I really wanna compete postpartum. I'm like, ah, oh, is that wise? Am I gonna be able to do that with two kids? What is that gonna look like? But there's part of me that's like, oh, I just wanna get like my pro card. I wanna keep going. And so, in simple terms, I think the way to say it is like, Damper, she do too much. She do too much always. I think that's where like mentorship, coaches, significant others, friends, family, people, like, they can kind of help keep you in check, right? So like talking to my coach and being like, hey, like this is kind of my limit. Talking to my boss and being like, hey, I know I have, but like this is my limit. This is my cap. And just holding firm in that, even in the messy, and staying consistent with that is really helpful, because it's easy to want to keep chasing the dopamine hit that life presents.
I like a phrase that goes with that of what you're saying is, and I say it to myself a lot, but I mean, it's as simple as, hey, I can do anything, but I can't do everything. And sometimes I think about that, like I can do anything I want, but I can't do everything. So like, and that's hard if you don't prioritize things. And it sounds like you're very aligned, and you're also very fortunate that you have Dennis. I feel like he's just such a calming person. Like that's why I see why you guys go so well, right? Because, he's very calm and I think he's very objective. So he could be like a really good person. I'm clearly that's your guy, right? He's the man. But I can see why you guys balance each other out so well because
Yeah,
there's.
I think that's helpful. Actually, I heard someone say something suggesting about like getting mentors or having people that like see things the same as you. I'm like, sometimes that's messy. Sometimes you need someone to poke and give you a different perspective. Someone having someone that has a different vantage point than you is really helpful. And for the sake of Dennis, yeah, that was a like it's we were 21, and I remember going to him when I was like we were 21. We had been kind of dating, and I literally went up to him and I was like, I don't want to. We're in Michigan, and I'm just from Rockford, right? Like I'm here, and I was like, I was like, I don't want to waste any time. I'm not doing long distance. I don't want to do long distance. I live in Rockford. There's a Rockford, Michigan, not Rockford. I was like Rockford, Illinois. I live in Rockford, Illinois.
Got it.
You can move home with me, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a teacher. I also probably want to coach soccer, so that means I'm going to have late nights, because I ran the varsity program at one of our local high schools for a few years. And I just kind of like laid out these things I want. I was like, I want to get a dog. I want to have two kids. Like I just kind of like laid out this thing and legit Dan's like, can I bring a suitcase? Okay. I looked at him and I was like one suitcase. I have room in my car for one suitcase. And he's just, oh, like I'm someone who's very, like I told you, like I have a fear of regret. I'm very adventurous. Like, let's just fucking go. And Dennis is just like always down for the ride.
He is the
And
total
he's a
shotgun guy.
fan.
Like, I'm there. I'll be there.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here for you. I'm your hype man. I'm your best friend. And inevitably, when I run too fast, when I go too hard, when I hit a wall, when I break, like he's there and he holds me. Because I've done that more times than I'd like to admit, of just like running a million miles a minute. Like, I think the year 2018 was so pivotal because all of 2017, I woke up at 2:30 a.m. every morning to get to the gym to make sure I could work out and do all my workouts before school. I then taught class all day. And then I went and I coached varsity, the Guilford program. So I had to stay for freshman, JV varsity, all that. And then I was getting my second master's degree. And so
Jeez.
a couple of times a week, I had to go over to the Dialysis Center and sit in a class that was 2 to 3 hours. And I would literally leave the house every day at 2:30 and I would get home around 11 p.m.
Nuts.
And I did it. And I don't know. I'm like, bitch, I don't know how you did that. But like, of course, I hit my breaking point with that. And
Right.
like, and it's just being there and still being so supportive and all of it. Like, we all need that. And just like you said, there's unteachable lessons. No one was going to tell me that that wasn't going to make me happy, but I found out the hard way. So it's fine. So now I just have radical clarity on what success is for me.
That's interesting because instead of like, hey, there's a turkey outside, there's a turkey outside. Then you said, come see the turkey. It's like you're gonna push yourself too hard if you do that, like a year before. No, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. Hey, come do it and you find out. And you're like, you know what? But
Exactly.
I'd rather my life when I look back on it, I like that you said there's no regrets. I'd rather look back and be like, man, I went a little harder than I probably needed to. I'd rather have to be pulled back a little bit than I never wanted to be the person that was passive. That you're like, ah, you gotta kind of push them forward to things. And I like that you said too, like having people that are willing to have different perspectives, but also though, like you have to be willing to listen to different perspectives. And that's something that I've had to develop over the years. 'Cause I'm very like, when you talk about controller, like I see it, this is what I want to do. And sometimes someone says something from left field or right field and they're like, they're not seeing what I'm seeing, but it's good because for example, I'll be honest, I would never do a voiceover on my content. I was like, that is just not me. Right. Some random person I'm not even that close with, reached out over the weekend and said, dude, I think you should do a voiceover because it would add personality to it. My initial reaction of years of being, I'd say a little like defensive, right? Was like, why is he saying that? But then right away I was like, well, listen to it. Let's see what happens. He even gave me a tip. He's like, use ChatGPT, bro. I promise you, I did it. And I was like, hey, I really like this. But
Yeah, what's it called?
had I not been able to listen to that objective opinion, and that's why you gotta keep objective people in your life, like people that are willing to. But then you gotta listen to. So
Yeah. I guess we can wrap up with one of my favorite sayings always is like,
go for it.
fuck with it and find out. Fuck
Yeah.
with it and find out. Like, just give it a shot, give it a try. Like, it kind of comes from that, like, fear of regret, not wanting to regret anything. And I think it, the like full circle of this question is, you know, like, think about it yourself, process through, see where you maybe have control or in your life or success, what it can look like. Hopefully, our convo provided some insight. And I think it, like, just know that. Fuck with it, find out all these things like fear of regret, chasing, having big dreams, having those like experiences that you need to have in life in order to understand what success is will never happen if you try and control everything.
I love that. Thank you. That was a great way to wrap it up. Thanks for coming on. We will have you on again. You rock. Have a great rest of your day. I'll see you.
Thanks, you too.